All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be digging into something pretty interesting in government contracting. It's this sort of inherent tension you get between, making sure that contractors are treated fairly, but also giving the government enough flexibility to basically function to get things done. And I think this is something that's especially relevant for all you aspiring lawyers out there who might be dealing with this stuff firsthand someday. So, to really get our heads around this whole balancing act, we're going to be looking at a pretty important case, Torricelli v. United States. This was decided back in 1982. And it really gets to the heart of what this termination for convenience clause is all about. And this clause, it sounds kind of straightforward, but in practice, it raises some really tricky questions about, what the government can and can't do.
Absolutely. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Really understanding the limits of this termination for convenience clause, especially when the government might already know some things before the contract's even signed.
Right, exactly. So the goal here is to use this Torricelli case as a way to kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, so to speak, so you can really grasp, what government contract law looks like in action.
Absolutely.
So let's just jump right in. What were the facts in this Torricelli case? What actually happened?
Well, the case centered around a contract the Navy awarded to a company called Soledad Enterprises, Inc. We'll call them Soledad for short. So Soledad, they won this contract to handle grounds maintenance and refuse removal at Navy family housing projects down in San Diego. Now, what's important is that this wasn't like a pick-and-choose type of contract. It was an all-or-none deal covering 12 specific items.
12 items, so pretty big package.
Yeah, exactly. A pretty comprehensive package.
And which part of that was the main problem? What were they disagreeing about?
The big issue, the one we're focusing on here, was item number 8, which covered pest control services. So for these pest control services, the contract said they'd be done on a call basis, whenever the Navy needed it. And Soledad's bid for each of these calls, for any pest control, was $500.
$500 a pop for pest control. That sounds like it could get expensive pretty fast.
Yeah, it could, especially when you realize that the Navy mainly just needed gopher control. And it turns out there were much cheaper ways to get rid of gophers than paying Soledad $500 every time. And here's the kicker. The court found that the Navy knew about these cheaper alternatives before they even gave the contract to Soledad.
Oh, so they knew they could get it done for less, but they signed the contract anyway. That's interesting. So what did the Navy do when they needed, pest control, specifically those gophers?
Well, instead of calling up Soledad and paying that $500, they kind of went around them. Sometimes they'd use Navy personnel to take care of it themselves. Other times they'd use the Public Works Department, who probably could do it cheaper.
Okay, so Soledad's not getting any of this work. Did they just sit back and let that happen, or did they try to do something about it?
Well, they definitely tried. Soledad actually reached out to the Navy and offered to drop their price for gopher control way down to just $35 a call.
Wow, so a huge discount from that initial $500.
A massive cut, But even with that offer, the Navy still refused to use them for gopher control.
Okay, so even at a much lower price, the Navy still said no. So understandably, Soledad decides to sue. What was their legal basis for suing the Navy? What was their argument?
Soledad sued for breach of contract, and their main point was that this contract was an all-or-none deal, and that pest control, item number 8, was a part of that deal. They were saying the Navy was obligated to use them for any pest control needs, gophers included, especially after Soledad showed they were willing to do it for a much cheaper price.
So this brings us to the big legal question here. What was the court trying to figure out? And how does this termination for convenience clause play into it all?
The big question for the Court of Claims was whether the government could use this termination for convenience clause, which basically lets them end a contract without a specific reason to get out of fulfilling a requirements contract, especially when they already knew they could get those requirements met cheaper elsewhere. And this termination for convenience clause is important because it gives the government a lot of flexibility. But the question is, are there any limits to that flexibility? Can they use it just to get a better deal after they've already signed a contract?
That's a good question. So, what did the Court of Claims decide? What was their ruling in this Torricelli case?
They decided that the Navy was in the wrong. They said that what the Navy did was a breach of contract and they couldn't use the termination for convenience clause as an excuse.
So they sided with Soledad. What was the main reason behind that decision? Like, what was the court's logic?
The court's main reasoning was that the termination for convenience clause is meant for when things change after the contract's already signed.
Okay.
You know, things like budget cuts or if the government's priorities change. It's not meant to be used to take advantage of information they had before the contract.
Right.
Like, if they knew they could get a lower price all along, they can't just use that as a reason to break the contract.
Makes sense. It's got to be fair to both sides, right?
Exactly.
Now, you mentioned this thing called a requirements contract. Could you break that down for us? What does that mean, and how did it affect what the Navy was supposed to do for Soledad?
Sure. A requirements contract basically means that the buyer, in this case the government, agrees to buy everything they need of a particular item or service from one specific seller, which was Soledad.
Okay.
So if the Navy needed pest control, which they did, they were supposed to get it from Soledad as per the contract.
Right.
The court said that going elsewhere for gopher control was a direct violation of that agreement.
You also talked about consideration before. How did what the Navy did affect the consideration in this contract?
Oh, that's a really important point. Consideration in contract law is basically what each side brings to the table. It's what makes the contract legally binding. In this case, the court was saying that if the government goes into a requirements contract but secretly plans to get those requirements met somewhere else because they know a better deal, then their promise to buy from the contractor is kind of empty.
Right.
It's like they're not really committed. One of the judges, Judge Nichols, put it really well. He said, like the mirage of the desert, there is nothing there.
Wow. That's a pretty powerful image.
It is, right. It means that one side has all this power to get out of the deal, while the other side is stuck. And that can make the whole contract fall apart because there's no real obligation on both sides.
So it seems like the termination for convenience clause wasn't meant to be a get-out-of-jail-free card for the government.
Exactly.
What was it actually intended for?
The idea behind the termination for convenience clause is to give the government some wiggle room when things change unexpectedly after they've signed a contract.
Okay.
Think of things like sudden budget cuts, a change in their strategic goals, or even if some new technology comes along that works better. It's about being able to adapt to things they couldn't have predicted.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about going back on their word just because they found a cheaper option later on.
Right. It sounds like the court thought the Navy wasn't being totally honest in this case.
Yeah. They basically found the Navy acted in bad faith.
And how did what the Navy knew beforehand play into that?
The fact that the Navy knew about cheaper gopher control options before they gave Soledad that all-or-none contract, including that $500 pest control item, made it look like they were trying to get around the contract from the very beginning.
Uh-huh.
It's like they never really planned to use Soledad for gophers, even though it was part of the deal. And that's what the court had a problem with.
So you said that this case overruled an earlier one, Colonial Metals Cup v. United States.
Yeah.
What was the significance of that in the Torricello ruling?
Overruling Colonial Metals was a big deal because some people thought that Case gave the government a lot of leeway to use the termination for convenience clause, even when their motives were questionable.
Okay.
But in Torricello, the Court of Claims specifically rejected that idea.
Uh-huh.
They were making it clear that you can't just use this clause to wipe out the other side's rights based on something you knew all along.
Right.
It was about preventing the government from taking advantage of this clause in the future.
It seems like the judges in this case didn't all completely agree. Could you give us a quick rundown of the different opinions? What were the different points they were making?
You're right. It wasn't a total slam dunk. The concurring opinions add some nuance to the legal reasoning.
Okay.
Judge Bennett, who wrote the main opinion, really emphasized that the way the termination clause was used here basically made the contract meaningless. He said the government has to show that something changed after the contract was signed if they want to use this clause.
Okay. And what about Chief Judge Friedman? What was his take?
Chief Judge Friedman had a narrower view.
Okay.
He thought the ruling should only apply when the government deliberately planned to avoid the contract because they knew about a lower price.
Got it. So he was focusing on proving intent. What about Judge Davis?
Judge Davis actually criticized the majority opinion for being too broad. He agreed that the termination for convenience clause shouldn't have been used in this case.
Uh-huh.
But he thought they should have focused solely on the fact that the government knew about a lower price beforehand.
Okay, so just stick to the facts of this specific case.
Right.
And lastly, what was Judge Nichols' main point?
Judge Nichols stressed that how the government carries out a contract should match the rules they used when they were picking a contractor in the first place.
Okay.
He felt that the Navy's actions in this case didn't line up with what they had agreed to in the contract.
So it seems like the Torricello case led to a kind of test for using the termination for convenience clause. What's this changed circumstances test all about?
Yeah, the changed circumstances test basically came out of the Torricello case.
Okay.
It says that the government can only use the termination for convenience clause if one of two things is true. Either things changed significantly after the contract was signed.
Right.
Or the original agreement between the government and the contractor no longer applies.
Uh-huh.
If neither of these is true, especially if the government is just trying to get out of a contract because they knew they could get a better deal, then they probably can't use the termination for a convenience clause.
So it's a way of making sure the government is acting fairly.
Exactly.
Why is Torricello still relevant today? What's its lasting impact on procurement law?
Torricello is a landmark case because it really cemented the idea that the government has to act in good faith when it comes to contracting.
Right.
It made it clear that they can't just use the termination for convenience clause as a loophole to break contracts and save money, especially if they knew about a cheaper option from the start. So while the clause is meant to give the government some flexibility, Torricello showed that there are limits to that flexibility.
Okay.
And it's all about protecting contractors and ensuring they're treated fairly.
So it sets some clear boundaries on how the government can use this clause.
Exactly. And even though there had been other cases since then that have kind of narrowed how the changed circumstances test is applied, Torricello is still a very important case.
Right.
It reminds everyone that this clause can be abused and that the government needs to be honest and fair when dealing with contractors.
Okay, so we've gone pretty deep into the Torricello case.
Yeah.
What's the big takeaway here for all those future lawyers out there?
The most important thing to remember from Torricello is that the government can't just use the termination for convenience clause to weasel out of a contract,
uh-huh.
especially if they're doing it based on information they had before the contract was even signed.
Right.
This case really highlights how important it is for the government to be fair and honest in all of its dealings with contractors.
So what should contractors keep in mind, especially if they're signing a requirements contract with the government?
They should be very careful about what they're agreeing to, especially any clauses that seem to give the government a lot of power to back out.
Okay.
They need to be aware that some terms might not be enforceable if the government can just use its prior knowledge to avoid its obligations.
Right, right. To wrap things up, I think there's a quote from the case that really sums it all up.
Yeah, absolutely.
The court said, and I quote, "We cannot condone termination based on knowledge of a lower cost when that knowledge preceded award."
That's it. That's the key takeaway.
It really lays it out there, huh?
It does.
Well, that's been a great deep dive into Torricello.
It has.
But as we wrap up here, I want to leave you with something to think about.
Okay.
Procurement law has obviously changed a lot since 1982. So what are the challenges we're facing today in trying to find that balance between giving the government the flexibility it needs while still ensuring fairness for contractors?
Right.
And what about the ethics involved when what the government knew beforehand affects what they do after a contract is signed?
Yeah, those are really important questions.
These are definitely things worth pondering as you move forward in your legal careers. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Thanks for having me.